Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45.
Good to be here this morning. Good morning. I want to thank Pastor Matt for providing some assistance with today's message with the disclaimer, he is not responsible for the contents. I've had the opportunity to fill the pulpit a number of times on Father's Day over the years. Preaching on Father's Day is always a challenge for me because there are four children that can attest to my failures. I pray that they have learned one positive thing from me, that God loves them. When they were little, I would often tell them, only God loves you more than me. Picking scripture is also a challenge since there are so many scriptures that can be applied to fathers on the occasion of Father's Day. It is difficult because there is often a temptation to share a message that the one preaching wants to say and just add scripture to support it. This is one way what's called eisegesis is sometimes falsely presented as biblical truth. Eisegesis is defined as an interpretation of a passage based on subjective, non-analytical reading. The word eisegesis literally means to lead into, which makes the interpreter injects his own ideas into the text, making it mean whatever he wants. As Christians, we should always read scripture to see what God has to say to us, not what words we can put in God's mouth. Pastor Matt has dedication to expository preaching, which means he takes God's word and pulls out what it means. He doesn't add his thoughts. Well, I mean, he does. I reviewed a number of possible passages for today's message. If you are interested in learning a lot more about fathers and their responsibility to children, you might want to read the passages that are on the screen. Hebrews 12, Colossians 3, Ephesians 6, Luke 15, 1 Samuel, Deuteronomy 1 through 9, 2 Samuel 18:33, Psalm 78, 1 through 8. These were all scriptures that talked about fathers. I think it's rather interesting, providential, I would say, that the meditation passage today was part of the message that I've prepared. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. I will be sharing a few of the related verses from the New Testament that repeat the message that was listed there. Okay? This is a brief outline of what's going to be covered. I will be sharing a few things about receive the law personally. We have to accept God's law ourselves. Obedience is typically a positive thing. It results in positive things in your life. Though, there are exceptions. So don't think just because this, you're going to do that. Obedience avoids God's displeasure. Obedient people will be seen as wise. And we will also briefly talk about Deuteronomy 4 and 5 and its historical use. Then we will look at understanding and teaching the law continually, the verses that were read in the meditation passage today. You know, the Lord our God is one. It's repeated in Mark, and it is repeated in Matthew. While you are turning to the passage for today, which is Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, I'd like to share a few Father's Day quotes from Pat Williams' book, Father's Day is that one time of the year when I get complete obedience from every member of my family. I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. According to the Almanac for Farmers and City Folk, the largest number of collect calls are made on Father's Day. Okay, mothers get way more phone calls, but collect ones. The greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. We often joke about fathers, but they are an integral part of God's plan to promote following God's law and sharing the gospel. So many of today's societal problems can be attributed to the failure of men to act as fathers. I selected a few statistics that focus on fathers that were involved instead of the often repeated negative statistics when they aren't involved. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. Though these statistics show the importance of involved fathers, I hope not to focus on the importance of fathers or their failures of fathers. I want to share the main job of being a Christian father as described in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. And it will become apparent that this doesn't just apply to fathers, but the main job of every Christian is to do what this scripture tells us. Let's read the entire passage together. Now is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you, your son, and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long, hear there, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land of flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and your gates. The main job of a Christian father is repeated in Matthew 22:37 and 38. Turn to Matthew. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Now turn over to Mark 12, 29 through 30. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." After reading those three passages, I have a question for you. What is the main job of a father, or any believer for that matter? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. The second part of those verses tells us to teach the law to our children. As those of you that are already parents can attest, being a parent is the most wonderful, fulfilling, difficult, heartbreaking, humbling job one can undertake. Christian fathers and mothers have such a responsibility. We have been given the joyous and daunting responsibility to raise God's children. Think about that statement. God's children. We often say the phrase, my child or my children, forgetting that they are gifts from God and they belong to our Heavenly Father. The children you are raising belong to the all-powerful, glorious ruler of heavens and earth. How many of you have ever borrowed someone's car? Or something valuable? How do you treat that borrowed car or item compared to your own? Don't you treat it more carefully? Now let's remember who the children we are raising truly belong to. Let us also remember that as parents, we are called to train our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This often repeated phrase is often matter-of-factly stated by believers. The difficult part is following through with it. I admit my walk with the Lord is lacking frequently. It is during those times that this command seems even more daunting than normal. How do we reach our children when we ourselves are struggling? Do we recognize that they likely have struggles and questions of their own? Do we share our struggles so they will see their struggles aren't unique? Since we all struggle at times, we should help each other through those times, not judge. As we look closer at today's passage, we will focus on the main jobs that all Christians have, which is to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, and to share this with others. The brief outline I shared earlier shares that we are to be receiving God's law personally and understanding and teaching the law. Let's look at it a little closer. This passage doesn't focus on what fathers do right or wrong. This message today doesn't demean fathers, as previously mentioned. It talks about our primary responsibility, the primary responsibilities of all Christians. In verses 1 through 3, the main job of Christians is to love God above all things. In the following verses, it shares the command to train the children given from God in the way to follow Him. While we are now under the covenant of grace and not under the Old Testament law, teaching God's Word is still vital. It is important to understand our need to receive the law personally and to follow these commandments while teaching our children to follow them. Children are very quick to notice when we say one thing and do another. So those commands like thou shalt not lie, you pick up the phone and say, oh, she can't come to the phone right now, she's busy, when they're standing right there, what are we teaching them? Receiving the law personally as we explore in verse 1. Now this is the command and statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which you are going to possess. This passage explains the laws are from God. We are expected to follow them. The phrase, the Lord your God, has significant meaning. The term Lord, according to the dictionary, means one with authority over you. He created you. He has authority over you. The word God is defined as the creator and ruler of all the universe and source of all moral authority, the supreme being. As Christians, I believe most of us would be comfortable with that definition of God, though we might want to identify some of the attributes of God in the definition for clarification. Ultimately, all authority belongs to the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. The phrase moral authority also stood out to me in the definition of God. I have conversations with a number of people that believe we can have a basis of morality without God. While a system of moral behavior can be developed without God, there is no actual ultimate authority in it. Joseph Stalin, who killed millions of his own citizens, believed the cause of communism was so important that even if it would take blood of his own people, it was morally justified. Without an ultimate authority, God, telling us, thou shalt not kill, anything can be considered moral by a majority of people. One thing God's law does is provide the ultimate authority. As we move to verses 2 and 3, we see that obedience is positive. Typically, following the law of God will improve life. Though, you have to remember what happened to the disciples. Okay? They experienced significant struggles because of sharing the gospel. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, that you may fear your God and your son, no, sorry, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Any father or mother knows that frequently our child could avoid a lot of heartbreak by obeying our rules. If we obeyed our Heavenly Father's rules, generally positive blessings are received. If we don't lie to people, people will look favorably on us. If we don't steal, people will trust us. When our children disobey us, they learn we are displeased. Sometimes our displeasure comes with negative consequences. Though for some children, merely seeing the displeasure is convicting enough. If we are as close to the Lord as we should be, we will want to avoid his displeasure, even if we don't see an immediate possible consequence. As we move to verses 4 and 5, understand that these are significant verses. While written to Israel, it provides us with an undeniable truth, and it is, as mentioned earlier, repeated in the New Testament. But these verses were what was considered the Shema that the Israelites repeated regularly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. How many here have broken that commandment? Okay, either a lot of you are sleeping or a lot of you are lying because I didn't see any hands raised. And there's... How many of you probably broke it this morning? How many struggle to even know what it looks like? I'm not sure I can describe it, but I know it involves action and sacrifice. We need to actively serve the Lord, not for salvation, but out of love. Some of you sacrificed this morning by showing up for Sunday school. Now, I didn't mean that, Dave, that it was a sacrifice. I meant you came early to hear God's word shared in Sunday school. We just started a new series. I encourage you, you can catch up. It's a book study. You can catch up. Come in the morning. Spend more time looking at God's word. How should we love the Creator of the universe? God who gives us everything that we have. God who gave us eternal life. Remember that it was Jesus himself that stresses the importance of truly loving God in Matthew 22, 36 through 38 that we read earlier. While we are to keep the command to love God with all your heart, we are also to remember we need to teach the law to our children. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. And these words I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You bind them on as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. As a Christian, it's important that we receive the law personally, that we understand the law and then teach the law continually to others. In this particular context, our children. These verses point out that we should continually share God's word with our children. How often do we take the time as we do our daily activities? Do we share about God and his commandments? Scripture tells us to do it diligently. But what does that mean? Well, some synonyms for diligently might assist us. Active, assiduous, attentive, careful, conscientious, eager, earnest, indefatigable, industrious, painstaking, persistent, studious, tireless, busy, constant, eager, beaver, grind, laborious, occupied, open roast, persisting, pernicious, pluggings, sedulous, okay, steadfast, unflagging, unrelenting, untiring. The last one, untiring, struck me because I'm tired just saying it. Are we sharing God's law as described by these words? And when we're talking God's law, it's not just the Ten Commandments. It's not just the legal parts. It's saying, reminding them constantly. That sun that's shining through those beautiful glass windows, stained glass windows, the Lord makes that sun shine. That beautiful bird that you see on a branch is made by God. What are some things you can do to point out during a typical day that allows you to share how amazing God is? When walking from place to place, do we point those things out as I mentioned? Do we take a moment to thank God for the experience? Thanking the Lord frequently can help us grow closer to Him. Hopefully, growing closer to Him will allow us to get closer to loving the Lord with all your heart, as Scripture commands. Think of someone you love. Think of the things you've done for them because you love them. Things you would not likely want to do on your own, but because you love them. Shouldn't you do out of love for God even more? Do you neglect helping others because you don't really want to? Then do it because you love God. Do you know someone that you don't like? Love them because you love God. We could go on and on. If we really love the Lord, our actions will show it. A story I came across tells of a little girl that understood love requires action. 2 weeks after this, I'm reading this story. 2 weeks after the stolen steak deal, I took Helen, 8, and Brandon, 5, to do the mall to do a little shopping. As we drove up, we spotted a Peterbilt 18-wheeler parked with a big sign that said Petting Zoo. The kids jumped up in a rush and asked, "Daddy, Daddy, can we go? Please, please, can we go?" "Sure," I said, flipping them both a quarter before walking into Sears. They bolted away, and I felt free to take my time looking for us all. A petting zoo consists of portable fence erected in the mall with about 6 inches of sawdust and hundreds of little furry baby animals of all kinds. Kids pay their money and stay in the enclosure and trap with the squirmy little creatures while their moms and dads shop. A few minutes later, I turn around and saw Helen walking along behind me. I was shocked to see she preferred the hardware department to the petting zoo. Recognizing my error, I bent down and asked her what was wrong. She looked up at me with those giant, limpid brown eyes and said sadly, "Well, Daddy, it costs 50 cents. So I gave Brandon my quarter." Then she said the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. She repeated the family motto. The family motto is love is action. She had given Brandon her quarter, and no one loves cuddly furry creatures more than Helen. She watched Sandy take my steak and say love is action. She had watched both of us say love is action for real around the house and the King's Arrow Ranch. She had heard and seen love is action, and now she had incorporated it into her little lifestyle. It had become part of her. What do you think I did? Well, not what you might think. As soon as I finished my errands, I took Helen to the petting zoo. We stood by the fence and watched Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. Helen stood with her hands and chin resting on the fence, and I just watched Brandon. I had 50 cents burning a hole in my pocket. I never offered it to Helen. She never asked for it because she knew the whole family motto. It's not love is action. Love is sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for you, not for me. Love gives, it doesn't grab. Helen gave her quarter to Brandon and wanted to follow through with her lesson. She knew she had to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience the total family motto, love is sacrificial. And that's from David Simmons. Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Are you sacrificing to serve the Lord? As we have studied this passage, we've covered two main concepts, that we must receive the law personally and we must teach it continually. If we don't personally love the Lord, it will be much more difficult to teach the law to our children. If we love the law, teaching it will be easier. If we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, teaching His word diligently will be much easier. As you leave today, I would like to challenge all of you to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and share the good news of the gospel, the law and the gospel, to all those that you come across. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this day that we recognize fathers. We recognize that you are the true Father of all of us, our Heavenly Father who gives us only good things. And we pray that you would help us to trust you and obey you and serve you and serve one another as we serve you. Amen.
All right, it's time again for our fellowship.